NDF, everybody. Andy, take as long as you need. And great to have you, sir.
Okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Andy, and I'm an alcoholic and an addict. It's good to be here. Thank you for inviting me, Mark. I never heard of this fellowship before, so it's really good to be here. I've only got one story, so I'll share my story with you. I went to my first meeting on the 15th of May, 1984. I got clean and sober in London after 20 years of drinking and drugging. And I started out my recovery in Narcotics Anonymous. That's where I started, got clean and sober in Northwest London on the 15th of May, 1984. I went to NA for my first five or 6 years. I relapsed quite a few times in that time. I just couldn't stay clean in NA. And so eventually I went to AA, and eventually I got myself a sponsor, and I'll tell you about that, how that happened and what happened, because I had enormous problems with sponsorship, because I identified as an agnostic, and I had an enormous problems getting a sponsor that was open to working with an agnostic. Yeah, a lot of the sponsors in NA at the time were the God Squad, and I couldn't handle that type of sponsorship. So it took me a really long time to find a sponsor that was willing to work with me, an agnostic. But I'll come back to that later on. I'll tell you a little bit about my childhood. I was born to a Polish family in 1954. My mother was a Polish immigrant. She came to the UK after the Second World War, and she settled in the UK. She was a single mother because my father died when I was still very, very young. And she put me with a foster family in London. So I was raised in foster care. And my foster family was a very religious family, very full-on Roman Catholic religious, yeah. And so I was raised in a very religious atmosphere from a very, very early age. And I didn't experience, we had to go to church from a very early age. We had to go to mass and that kind of stuff from an early age. And yeah, I didn't experience any of the love that the scriptures were talking about, the New Testament, about the love of Jesus and all that type of stuff. In fact, it was quite the opposite. My foster mother was a very cold, at times very cruel woman. She was certainly emotionally indifferent to me as a child. And so I, from a very early age, I rejected faith and religion, judging it to be total hypocrisy. If she was so rejecting and so opposite to what religion was actually teaching, then to me the whole thing was a load of nonsense. Yeah. And so I rejected religion from a very early age. And then when I was about 8 or 9, My mother took me away from this foster family, and she placed me in a boarding school run by Catholic priests. I went to this Roman Catholic boarding school, which was also very full on Catholic. And there I was exposed to also very heavy doses of the Catholic religion. And by the time I was 10 or 11 years old, I completely re rejected God and religion. I saw the hypocrisy in that school. The priests taught religion, and yet their behavior and their attitude towards us pupils was anything but loving. And so I rejected the whole thing as being completely hypocritical. And so from a very early age, I became an agnostic, and I thought that that it was all nonsense. In my mind, religion and God wasn't real. It wasn't true. And so by the time I came to AA at the age of 30, after 20 years of drinking and drugging, I wanted nothing to do with God or religion. And when I saw the 12 steps hanging on the wall of AA meetings, I didn't react well, as you can imagine, when I saw that God was involved in the 12 steps. When I saw steps two, and they talked about a higher power, in my mind, as a newcomer, they were talking about a Catholic God. And when I saw steps three, that I had to hand my will and my life over to God, as we understood him, I thought that they were talking about a Catholic God. And so I rejected the steps. I wanted nothing to do with the steps. I had 17 years of drinking and drugging behind me. It was full on drinking and drugging. I didn't mess about. I became a homeless addict, an alcoholic, before I even hit my teens. I was on the streets of London by the time I was 20, taking drugs and drinking. I'd been arrested by the time I was 20, and I was in prison already. That was my story. I had a long history of mental institutions and prisons right up until I came to AA at the age of 30. Although I liked AA from the get-go, I really liked the idea of being in a fellowship full of other alcoholics and addicts. I simply couldn't handle the idea of any type of God or higher power. And I decided to do therapy. I knew that I had a lot of damage from my childhood. So I decided to get into therapy, and rejected the idea of getting a sponsor and doing the steps. And I spent 10 years doing therapy and going to meetings. No sponsor, no steps. And this is only my own experience. I wasn't able to stay clean just on doing therapy and going to meetings. I kept relapsing, and I became a serial relapser, and that was my experience. I used therapy. Therapy wasn't the problem. if I'm honest, guys, therapy wasn't the problem. I blamed my childhood in therapy. Yeah. It was all the fact that I grew up in foster care, that my foster mother was so cold, and that I didn't get any love or affection in my foster family. All I experienced was rejection. I blamed my biological mother for rejecting me when I was 18 months old. So I blamed my childhood, the fact that I became an alcoholic and an addict. And I spent a lot of time and money in therapy blaming my childhood. I spent a shitload of money in therapy, thousands of pounds, I would say, in therapy, blaming my childhood for what a dreadful childhood I had. And there's no getting away from it, guys. I did have a rough childhood. My childhood in foster care wasn't great. My foster mother was a very cold, completely emotionally unavailable woman. My real mother became an alcoholic in this time. So she was emotionally unavailable as well. So there's no doubt about it that I was a pretty fucked up kid. Yeah. And by the time I came to AA when I was 13, I was a pretty fucked up young man. But I was also agnostic, and I didn't want anything to do with God, any God or a higher power. And so I was in the meetings, I was in the fellowship, and I was relapsing all the time. I couldn't stay clean and sober. And this carried on for 13 years in my case. And I was very, very angry in the time that I was going to meetings. I tried to fix myself with other things besides alcohol and drugs. I became a food addict. I abused sugar and compulsive overeating. That became my other drug of choice. I soon found sex and love addiction as well. So I transferred my addiction onto sex and love, and I became a sex and love addict as well. You may have noticed that I live in Thailand now. I've been with the same partner for 10 years now, but when I originally came to Thailand, I didn't come to Thailand to admire Buddhist temples. I came to Thailand originally because I could act out on my sex and love addiction, which I did with Thai bar girls, yeah? And that's what I did when I first started to come to Thailand. And I did that for a long time. And in the end, I had to acknowledge that my sex and love addiction was a part of my overall disease of addiction. Yeah. So I had to incorporate my food addiction, my sex and love addiction, my codependency. Because I had to put that all under the umbrella of my overall disease of addiction. And in the end, I went back to England, and I was lucky enough to get a sponsor who was very, very open to working with me as an agnostic. Yeah. He was an old timer in AA. And he had a lot of sponsees, this guy. His name was David, yeah. And he sponsored a lot of guys. But he was very, very open to working with people that didn't believe in God. And he invited me over to his flat one day. And I said to him, David, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't believe in God. What are we going to do? And he got me to open the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 27. And he pointed me to a quote out of the 12, out of the 12 and 12. And he said to me, "You can, if you wish, make AA itself your higher power. You don't need to believe in the traditional idea of God." And he says, "You can make AA itself your higher power." And this was the first time that I'd ever heard that I could make AA itself my higher power. And to have an old timer tell me that I could make AA itself my higher power, I was quite impressed by that. And I was able to use AA itself as my higher power. And I did that. And I used AA as my higher power for a very, very long time. And as far as step three as was concerned, he said to me, "You don't need to believe in any God to hand to do step three." He said to me, "All you need to do is to make a decision to carry on with the rest of the steps, right?" And that was also a big relief to me that I didn't need to believe in any God, that all I needed to do was to carry on with the rest of the steps. And I'm glad he said that to me because as I said to you, I was a very, very angry young guy. I was 30 when I first came to AA, and I absolutely hated my foster mother. Even though I didn't believe in God, I hated the idea of God. I hated the God of the Catholic religion. I absolutely hated anything to do with Catholicism. I thought it was, I just had a lot of resentment towards the Catholic faith. Yeah. I hated my biological mother for abandoning me when I was 18 months old and putting me in foster care. I hated my foster mother for not showing me any type of affection and being so emotionally indifferent to me when I was a kid growing up. So I had a lot of resentment. So I'm glad that I did the steps as a non-believer. And David put me on step four, and I was able to deal with a lot of my resentment since step four. And in step five, I was able to release a lot of bitter fucking resentment that I had that was co the cause of a lot of my relapse. Yeah. I was a serial relapser for 13 years in AA. I believe that the reason why I was a serial relapser was because I had so much bitter resentment inside me and anger and blame. And that's why I was a serial relapser for so long. But after I did steps four and five with David as a non-believer, yeah, I let go of a lot of that blame and resentment. And David said to me that the purpose of steps four and five was to let go of the victim belief system. And I was a victim. I saw myself as a victim for a long time in the fellowship. And steps four and five helped me to let go of the victim belief system. And it felt as if I was released out of jail when I let go of the victim belief system. And it was a revelation. I no longer saw myself as a victim. It was fantastic. And then I went on to step six and seven. And step six and seven were also about letting go of the victim belief system. And I stopped seeing myself as a victim. And I was able to take responsibility for the defects of character that condemned me to continue seeing myself as a victim. And I stopped playing the blame game. I blamed everybody for my unhappiness and misery. If I got upset, if you did something to me, I immediately blamed you. I refused to take any responsibility for what part I had played in taking the resentment. So in a way, the steps set me free, even as a non-believer. So it was incredible. And I was able to make amends to the people that I had harmed. And that was a revelation to me as well, because even though I saw myself as a victim, and I thought that amends, if any amends were to be made, they should be made to me, because I saw myself as a victim. But as it turned out, I also harmed quite a lot of people when I was a using addict. I also fucked over quite a lot of people when I was a using addict. I used and abused people. For example, in my sex and love addiction, yeah, I used people in the same way as I used drugs and alcohol. I used people sexually, used women sexually. I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend any women here, but I was a very sick person. Yeah. I couldn't help myself. I used women in the same way that I used drugs and alcohol, to mitigate my incredible feelings of emptiness and loneliness. Yeah. So I had to make amends to women. I had to make amends to people that I had used. As a as an alcoholic and addict, so there were amends that I had to make as well. Yeah, that was very powerful as well, and that helped me to let go of the victim belief system as well. Yeah, so what these steps did for me is they helped me to grow up and become an adult and stop seeing myself as a helpless, powerless victim. So they were very powerful for me, and what they did for me, what the steps did for me, and I continue to say this as a confirmed agnostic, was I grew up. I finally grew up, and I stopped seeing myself as a victim and a hurt child, which I had seen myself all my life, and I grew up and grew I grew up and became an adult. And in terms of my spirituality, I got into a non-religious spirituality, and I began to explore things like Buddhism, and different types of spirituality that were non-religious. Yeah. All different types of spirituality that involved medication, meditation. Sorry, yeah, I mentioned medication because I had to be on medication for many, many years in recovery because I was so damaged by the effects of growing up in foster care. I had to be on medication for pretty much 20 years or something in recovery. But the steps helped me to come off my medication, and I've been medication free for quite a few years now, as a result of going through the steps with David. So, you know, that was also as a result of going through the steps. I've been off antidepressants for quite a few years now. I sponsor people in recovery. Most of them don't believe in God, that they're agnostics, but I also sponsor people that do believe in God, and that's not a problem. 2 years ago, I had a stroke, which paralyzed me down the left side of my body. So you might have noticed that my left eye is closed, and the reason why my left eye is closed is that I can't open it very well. But that's okay. I still feel very grateful for my recovery. I have a great life here in Thailand. I've been together with the same partner for 10 years now. I don't act out on my sex and love addiction anymore. I go to meetings on a regular basis. I'm still very much involved in recovery. The 12 steps, even as a non-believer, have helped to sort me out. The important thing is that they help me to grow up psychologically and emotionally. When I first came into recovery, undoubtedly, I was very, very emotionally and psychologically immature. I saw myself as an angry victim that blamed their childhood for the fact that they became an addict and an alcoholic. I needed all kinds of addictive behaviors to fill up the emptiness and the hole within me. And the steps helped to fill up that emptiness within me. So they really worked for me. The steps really worked for me, even as an agnostic. And I personally, I wrote a book. I wrote a book a few years ago. It's available on Amazon. It's called The 12 Steps for Agnostics. And in that book, I say that you don't have to believe in God for the 12 steps to work for you. All you need to do is to find a power greater than yourself. And if you make the fellowship itself, your higher power, then that's good enough. Group of drunks, or group of drug addicts, and that worked for me. The meetings became a power greater than me, and that worked for me. Good orderly direction, an acronym for God, that worked for me. Today I no longer suffer from the disease. When I first came into recovery, without the drugs, I was completely off my head. I really was. If I hadn't have done the 12 steps, I would have probably ended up committing suicide because I was so angry. And today, I'm at peace with myself, I'm a satisfied customer. And that's pretty much all I've got. As I said, I've only got one story, and I'm really, really grateful to David that he showed me a way of working through the steps as a non-believer. If any of you are interested, I encourage you to have a look at my book, The 12 Steps for Agnostics. It's a tenner on Amazon, and the way that David showed me to work the steps literally saved my life. And I think I'll leave it there. Thanks very much, Mark, for asking me, and wishing you all a peaceful and happy 24 hours. And thanks for allowing me to share. Thank you.